This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the results, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Welcome to the My Old Man Said podcast. I'm David Michael, your host. This is a quick Europa Vision catch-up on the events at Villa Park when Lille came to town for the first leg. Joining me to discuss the game we watched, Mr. Chris Budd, welcome.
Hello, sir. How are you?
Not too bad. It's one of those situations we find ourselves in where if I'd have said before the game, would you have taken a goal lead? Considering who we're playing, you'd probably say yes, but when you're 2-0 up and you start to think about the next leg, don't you? You think, 2-0 cushion. It starts to go through your mind. And as soon as you start thinking that, what happens? So we'll get into discussing what it means and looking back at the game. First of all, let's get an update on Coefficient FC.
Oh, they had a fucking stinker, didn't they?
I can't believe.
Fucking
the manager
Liverpool,
of
man.
Coefficient FC, Jurgen Klopp, because let's face it, of all the teams that had, the most bankable passage into the next round, because Liverpool were pretty much favourites for that tournament, as Villa are for the Conference League. Bayer Leverkusen, though, are good, so I had little hope of West Ham getting through. I mean, in terms of the coefficient, you get points if you get a draw or if you win, so you don't necessarily have to get through to contribute. So with West Ham, you were hoping, while they may not get through, at least if they got a draw or win, you know, within the two legs, then at least they'd be contributing. You expected Liverpool, of all the teams, to probably have the easiest passage, even though it's, you know, against a decent Italian team. The thing about the Italians is Liverpool are very good at Houdini acts at Anfield, but unfortunately they got beat 3-0 at Anfield, and Italian teams are very good at it's just in their bloodstream of not conceding many when they decide they don't want you to score many.
Well, they know that defence wins titles.
Yeah.
Whereas all the English teams in this round of games seem to completely fuck it up defensively.
I mean, Villa had the best result in terms of Europe of any English team.
Yeah.
For the coefficient. And also, I mean, we've got a decent opponent, and we could have been beaten 3-0 by Lille. Martinez hadn't come to the rescue early doors when he was probably the busiest he's been for a long time, actually.
Yeah, I can't remember him having to make that many big saves, especially like one-on-one moments. They carved us open a few times, especially in the first half.
Yeah, so he was our man of the match. So that's pretty much all you need to know there in terms of the caliber of our opponents. So that was compared to all of the English teams, it was the best result. But in terms of fifth place now, I mean, we've always said there's a real English bias about reporting this coefficient. They just looked at the fact that England had five teams in the tournament, Germany had three, which is fair enough as a starting point. You would obviously make English teams favourite, but you just looked at the German teams. You've got Leverkusen, who are on fire, Bayern Munich.
And they know the league's gone, so that is their sole focus now.
And also Dortmund, who, you know, former winners of the Champions League and a decent enough outfit. So you're looking at three teams that can go far in their respective tournaments. So when you saw the draw, the English teams were up against it. I mean, there's two head-to-heads with the best two German teams at the moment. Arsenal, you know, having to address the horror, the nightmare of that 10-2, and they didn't beat Bayern Munich at home. So they've got their work cut out there. West Ham got beat 2-0, and I think 1-0 you'd give them a hope.
Yeah, they conceded the first one late, and then the second one in stoppage time. You thought, I mean, they got battered through the game.
I watched the highlights of that, and Bayer Leverkusen looked good, I've got to admit. And, you know, they haven't got Bowen at West Ham, which I think would, just through his tenacity, would give them a hope there. So I can't see them going through. So in a nutshell, that fifth place will rely on Villa, I think, getting through there. Mm-hmm. Hoping that Manchester City can do a job against Real Madrid. But, you know, if there's a team that can knock Manchester City out, it's Real Madrid. So it's all a bit more tentative in terms of that fifth place now. It's not a banker. I would say there's more chance of getting in Champions League by finishing fourth than there is flaking out and relying on a fifth place. So that's the context there. So that's extra reason why Villa have to progress in this tournament, because they will play a big part in terms of contributing if England get that extra place, which is very much in the balance.
It is. And I mean, obviously, you've always have to look after your own fate first. But going away to Lille, you know, going away 2-0 up, you kind of would be cautiously optimistic. The goal felt inevitable, didn't it, when they got it back? I mean, thank God it's not away goals count and all that, as it used to be in Europe with the jeopardy and all that.
Away goals, that would have been a punch in
the
gut.
But it really knocked the stuffing out of the crowd. I mean, it was a good atmosphere in patches, I thought, actually, last night. But when they got that goal back with whatever it was, 6-7 minutes to go, it just killed the atmosphere. And everyone was like, Villa just taking their foot off the gas here. It was actually at 2-0. You kind of felt the Villa need to really go at them here and attack with the best form of defence.
If you're a Villa fan following Villa in Europe, and you want to access various things back home, or even a villain in the UK who wants to access those Saturday 3 o'clock games by potentially subscribing to other countries' packages with NordVPN, you can change your online IP address to appear in different countries so you can actually access other packages while also protecting your online security by changing your IP address. With a NordVPN account, you can actually have 6 devices on that account, so you can potentially spread it across your family. And this month, NordVPN is offering my Old Man Said listeners a bumper exclusive package. You get 4 months free, plus huge savings, and you get a 30-day money-back guarantee to try it as well. So go to nordvpn.com/moms, M-O-M-S, to check it out. Let's go through this. And in terms of, just to summarise the final results, on reflection of the whole game, you would take that, just because Lille, they could have won that game as easily as Villa won it if it wasn't for Martinez. So to win it is great, but the fact is Lille have the best home record in France. They're no slouches, and you saw the evidence of why. I mean, they're a lot more compact than Villa were, but hopefully Villa, I think they'll be a bit deeper this time, potentially, so we might not get caught out so many times in terms of on the break. I mean, we'll see how good Lille are in possession.
I mean, I thought they were very slick at Villa Park.
Yeah.
And how they move the ball.
Good atmosphere. The fans were up for it, but unfortunately, not so many of them. Similar to AZ.
Yeah.
Just filling the bottom tier, really.
Which is still a pretty decent turnout.
Yeah, I mean, it's a big trip. Different countries, so any team that can fill a bottom tier is fair play to them.
Especially when you got that full and they're going for it the whole game, considering they were losing.
Yeah, and especially when you consider they've been in bigger European tournaments and more regularly than Villa have in recent years. And, you know, the Conference League's hardly, it's a big thing for us because it's the novelty of being back in Europe to them. It's like, you know, it's small time. So I thought their fans gave a good effort and all 90 minutes as well. Villa fans, probably this, and as you said earlier on, before we came on, Manchester City, probably the best two atmospheres of the season. Villa Park?
I would say so, yeah. Although it did fade a little bit, unfortunately. I think we're starting to see in games, I think Brentford, we saw it a couple of games as well. It feels like a team who are maybe subconsciously feeling it a bit. Certainly, I think the fans, we're, for the first time in God knows how long, we've actually got something to lose now. And we haven't had this very often where, you know, you're in this great position, you've done loads of the heavy lifting, and now it's the right get it over the line period. And we don't, as I think I said in the previous show, we believe we can do it, but I think there's that little bit of trust where we've seen such a body of work over the season and certainly in the last couple of months where you think, Like, for example, when the Lille goal went in, I was like, well, of course they've scored from a corner, because you don't necessarily trust the Villa guys to not make a mistake at a key moment defensively. And that's not cynicism or being negative. It's just you can only deal with the evidence in front of you, and the body of work sort of speaks for itself since Christmas.
Yeah, if you concede goals, I mean, I've said this like a broken record, it's going to be difficult for you. It doesn't matter how many goals you score. I mean, some people say, oh, well, you know, as long as you score more goals than you concede in the tournament, and we're talking about winning this tournament, it doesn't work like that, because you're going to have a night where they've done a number on you and they're stopping you. And if your defence flakes out to set pieces, for example, they're going to beat you. You've got to find a way to beat teams different ways. And having a solid foundation in terms of your defence is the first blueprint, isn't it?
Yeah, I
think so. You could be terrible up front and win tournaments or, you know, get to finals. I mean, you know, remember Argentina, the next World Cup after the 86 one, they stunk the place out, but they still got to the final. It's because they were, and you know, Greece won the Euros basically on their defence. They were so well organised, defended so well. All they needed was to get a goal from a set piece or, you know, breakaway, and they could win games.
Yeah, it's that thing of, are we set up to contain? Clearly not. That's just not the way we play. You know, we're there to play teams. We're a controlling team, and when it goes well, it looks great and it's effective. But I think when you lose control, you don't have a fallback option to kind of go right now, which is what we saw when Emery first came in, probably because the goalposts were very different back then in terms of the team. And I think you need to better go, okay, this isn't working, but we can beat you in another way. And that's what the really top sides do. You know, not everybody gets to be like Man City, where if their A game works, there's no one who's going to get close to them. I refer to sort of how Liverpool have tended to do well in Europe. You know, they can, you know, they went to Barcelona and lost 3-0, and then they came back and won 4-0. But you can't rely on basketball style games, and you've seen it all through Europe really this week, that the theme for me has been certainly the English teams can't defend. And you know, you saw Olympiacos go 3-0 and then concede 2 goals. You know, we'd be raging as a fan base if Villa had done that.
Yeah, for them though, for Olympiacos to win at home by any score is great, because the round before they got beat 4-1 at home and then won 6-1 away. So to them, that's a miracle result to win at home, because yeah, they'll be taking care of business in Turkey. Well, don't let any Turkish fan listen to this. But no, we haven't actually mentioned the game yet, but I thought Villa started very well.
They did.
And it seemed to be going all well, but we were getting caught, and they were playing through it. It's hard to talk about Villa, isn't it? Because for all the good they do defensively, you know, it potentially could be undermined at any second and undone.
Unfortunately, and normally needlessly as well.
First goal.
Well, their manager thinks it's a foul, doesn't he? He thinks Rodgers is blocking their guy. That said, they spent 90 minutes throwing themselves to the ground and trying to con the ref, which, I mean, they did pretty well actually at times.
How they never got a player booked is
staggering.
Incredible.
Especially when there was a shirt pull on Konza, and then about 30 seconds later, Luiz does the same to their guy, which Emery goes mad at him for, by the way, because it is stupid.
Yeah.
Whether Luiz thinks he's going to get away with it or not. The other thing was, of course, you know, McGinn was diving into a couple of tackles, and he was very, very lucky actually not to get booked at one point, and he thought, well, that would have been him out of the second leg, and not great.
I mean, Tillemans got booked in the second half, 77th minute, but he was spoken to by the ref in the first half, remember that, so that potentially was to be expected. But the Watkins goal,
great header,
straight from a corner.
Yeah, really good ball in by McGinn to the back post. He's completely unmarked. You think, well, if you get your header on target, you score here, and he does. And then at that point, you think, right, come on, then, great start,
great
push
timing.
On. And then they got control of the game.
Yeah, I mean, to be 1-0 up at half time, you were thinking, I think we've got through our dodgy period there, because they were good for a goal, weren't they? I mean, this is
why
when you look back at the whole result, you go, I'm taking that 2-1.
Oh, it's definitely positive. I think it's very much a case of what could have been and then what's to come, because, of course, it's only half the job done. And I think that maybe affects things like atmosphere, when everyone's like, well, whatever we do tonight, we won't have killed it, unless you sort of, you know, 3-4 plus. And it's, you know,
yeah, because, I mean, just look at the stats, 59% Lille possession, seven shots on target to our 4. So in terms of the bigger chances, Lille had more.
Yep.
And that is the concern here. This is why we're not high-fiving. But we're going to Lille. That's why we're feeling in trepidation. But it's a fair reflection. But I think that's a good win. You don't have to play teams off the park to beat them, though. So no. The fact that we're taking something there is a big plus, because look at the other English teams' results, and Lille were very capable of doing something here. So I'm pretty happy.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
About that, going on to, we've been talking the last few weeks about not starting the second half well, but the timing of the goal was
pretty good.
Now, we've gotten away with a few things here. Martinez has kept us in the lead. This may be a big turning point. And when that ball goes back to McGinn, I mean, I'm right behind that goal. I'm celebrating it because I can see it going in it's even halfway to the goal line. I'm up.
Yeah, it's a great finish. It's a really good, really well-worked corner, actually. I don't know. Obviously, Bailey sort of slips, doesn't he, in the builder?
Yeah.
But when it comes back to McGinn, it's a fantastic finish. And at that point, I think it was, in my head, it was right. Do you stick or twist now? Do you, because you're on top, do you make the change and go with Diaby now, going, right, we're going to really throw a little bit of punch at this, maybe go for something resembling a knockout blow? And for my money, Villa didn't. It was a bit like Brentford, where you're 2-0 up, you think, right, we can go here. And we stopped. And I think McGinn said it after the game,
first, didn't he? Like nine minutes after the goal, is Zaniola comes on for Rodgers. Now, I thought, isn't that going for it? It's not a defensive.
I don't know.
I don't think it's a defensive sub. I think that's
kind of like a neutral for me.
I think it's
straight
freshen
down the line.
It up and perhaps go for it. So I didn't mind that at the time, I've got to admit. But then when there was a double substitution soon after that, like another 9 minutes later on, where Bailey comes off for Diaby, Luca Dean comes on for Moreno. That's like for like.
That was so positive then.
So again, it's like for like. You could say, oh, he's got one eye on. This is what I thought at the start of this podcast. I think I said, oh, he had one eye on the Arsenal game. But at that moment in time, it's like to like. It's freshening up. So pretty much, he's still going for it. Those three subs, I think you can't accuse them of he's taking his eye off the ball on this game. He's going for the Arsenal game. I don't think you can. I think that is a freshening up. Let's go for the third, I think.
No, I think it may be just the outlook of the players. I don't necessarily, obviously Emery's made the changes. And actually, I thought Diaby was a really good shout at any point in that game, to be honest. I would have liked to have seen Bailey and Diaby together actually at some point, but alas. McGinn said after the game, they're a good side, but we allowed them back in. We relaxed a bit. And I think that was the thing from Villa. They stopped being aggressive. Very similar to the Brentford game and a few other games. Whether it was as the game went on, we thought, right, 2-0 would be a great result here. Let's try and manage it. And I don't think we managed the game very well. And then,
well, 10 minutes to go, they've made a double substitution and, freshening up their forward line. But at 10 minutes to go, you're thinking 2-0, substitutes are fine. But then he makes two subs with 8 minutes to go. And that's perhaps where the creep sets in, where you're thinking, oh, he's looking towards Arsenal now, 10 minutes to go. And you've got to remember now, just one goal changes the complexion big time. Duran comes on for Watkins and Tielemans comes off for Aregbenham. Now, at that point, that's sending the message, we're settling for two, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Which is fine if you do that, but it wasn't like we were in control of the game at that point. It was a lot of kind of, we'd taken the pace out of the game, and while that's fine sometimes, I don't trust us to do that right now, where we can, it's very, very easy for lack of tempo to become lackadaisical or sloppy. And little bits of that had crept in. And I just felt Villa against Lille were better when they were being aggressive.
Yeah, because I'm thinking at this stage, there's, you know, we're now 8 minutes to go, you know, let's say 10 plus with stoppage time. This is a period where for Lille, it's nothing to lose time.
Mm-hmm.
You can go for it more. If you concede another, then, well, you know, perhaps not the greatest thing, but it doesn't look like Villa are really necessarily going for it. Now, if you get something, it's reward risk, isn't it? It's worth it. And that makes them very dangerous. And I'm thinking those two substitutes, Aregbenham, I mean, you know, how many starts has he made? It's not as if you're bringing him on to lock up shop, because I'm sorry, just because his position is defensive midfielder doesn't mean he's got control of the occasion and he's got the experience to do it. He's, you know, he's very much learning.
It was like a 3-0 substitution. You think when you're 3 up right now, we can think about it. Not when you're 2 up and there's the difference between 2-0 and 2-1 at this point is great, especially with our team. And it's difficult. I think sometimes, you know, throwing guys into a game in that situation when Lille are popping the ball around pretty well and did throughout, credit to them, it's very difficult to get up to the tempo of the game. I thought Zaniolo struggled too. I thought Moreno did okay. Diaby, you didn't get to see him doing his thing. And, you know, when you're getting right into the heart of that midfield, and I get it, if you've got Tielemans and Louise both on yellows and McGinn's running a tightrope, you probably have to do it. But we just lost dynamism. Yeah. And then when you concede the goal, I just felt, right, if we can go again, if you can get the wind in yourselves for 5 or 10 minutes and get a third and get your 2-goal lead back, then it becomes a really good result.
Yeah, but just, at that point...
I never thought we would at that point.
At that point, I'm more concerned about conceding another because previous... when they get that, it's not like, oh, right, we've got to go again. You could tell by the players, they were like dejected.
And the atmosphere just went flat, didn't it? And you saw it full time. It was kind of like a ripple of applause and everyone went home.
And half of it isn't the fact that, in terms of the atmosphere, it isn't the fact that we've conceded a goal at that time. It's like, is there another one coming? That's the problem. So you're kind of hoping to get it over the line to take the lead to France, and they did. I mean, there's lots of contentious decisions, like the potentially Watkins penalty, their manager Fonseca's complaining about body checks, etc. on the lead up to our goals, both of them.
When it kicked off a little bit, didn't it, on the pitch at half time? Between the coaches, when they were obviously trying to go out to the ref, and they were really trying to play the game with the ref. When
there was the battle of the 22s as well.
Yeah, the battle of the 22s, yeah.
Zaniola and Portuguese right back Santos. He was good. He got a really good block in as well. He was one of those shithouse players that winds up
everyone.
Everybody. But I thought he was effective, and, you know, he wasn't flaky at all. He was, you know, he's a decent prospect, and they had a lot of that. They didn't have a weak link, did they?
Well, they were some of the parts, and yeah, they're where they are in the league for a reason.
And we scored one directly from a corner and conceded one, and that was a bad one to give up, because you're looking at our defenders, the centre-backs, let's be specific, why they can't get, you know, they get their heads on fucking corners, and but actually mark and pick up their man. The guy runs into open space, doesn't he?
It's just a poor goal. It'd be a poor goal. You know, it's the kind of one in a league game, you kind of go, all right, fair enough, but you get away with it. But of course, over a two-leg match, an error like that can be pivotal.
I mean, if Lille fashioned a decent goal, you go, oh, fucking hell, you know, they probably deserve
that's probably
that.
Deserved,
but this is like you've just given them it. It's like you've given them it from shite defending. Lille deserved perhaps a goal. No dispute about that. But if you can get away without conceding any, doing anything stupid, and they don't get that goal, then tough shit. But just to gift them it, it's like, oh, you probably deserve this goal. Here's a present. It's like...
And when your goalie's had such a good game, it must be so frustrating for Martinez when he's sort of looking in front of him going, what are they going to hand me today?
But, you know, you see it on social media. I see the Mings brigade is out today. Yet Mings can fucking header the ball. He can defend. So that's why people are probably saying it's a shame we haven't got his defensive qualities in, because Torres, different player.
Totally different, yeah.
He's always been known, one of his weaknesses is aerial dominance. You gain something on the ground, you lose something.
Mm-hmm.
But ultimately, he's a defender. And that is the kind of existential debate, if you want.
Yeah.
I mean, I keep saying I was always fascinated to see how Mings and him would feature. Because, you know, people say, oh, they were brought to play together. Well, I'd like to have seen how that would have evolved, because it's not so obvious, isn't it?
Or even a back three with with Konsa as well, potentially.
Yeah, but Carlos's men would be the man picking up the slack for Mings's absence in terms of having a big dominating centre-back. But he's not there, is he, at the moment?
I'm really...
He's all right.
He has
if you
moments.
Run straight at him, then he's hard to get past. But
yeah,
in terms of picking up runners or whatever, he's a bit got the casualness about him.
And in possession, there were a couple of moments early in the very, very early in the game where he nearly played us into trouble two or three times. But then for those, you offset that again, the ball playing. He's the guy who can play through the passing lanes and into midfield, and he does that very well. There was two or three where he really wrapped it into Watkins and we were away.
Yeah.
But fundamentally, you've got to defend and question marks still. I do think if Cash is back for the second leg, I think he goes straight in at right back. Dare I say, we might see the first half lineup we did against Spurs, where he maybe goes with the back five and says, I'm going to trust my nippy players to do the damage on the break. Because one thing I do remain positive on is actually Villa's ability to go to Lille and probably score.
Yeah.
The question marks are, you know, at the back.
Yeah, but the thing is, you spoke about, you defended to a certain extent Emery's formation against Spurs in that first half, because you said, look, they completely blunted them down.
Yeah.
My observation was, it's just a matter of time, though, because you can't just let them have the ball.
Yeah, I accept that, yeah.
Yeah, and that's what I'm feeling against Lille, just because technically they're very good, and I think you can't just let them have the ball. They will get at us in the end.
Especially, you know, whoever, if we played a five, I don't think there's many guys in a five at the moment, even Longley, who can actually head the ball.
Yeah.
As I said earlier, we're not built to contain. If you play a back five, you're just camping on the edge of your penalty area, and that's going to be a horrible game to watch. And
to contain, you've got to have your defensive midfielders, like, you know, your top men, and Kamara's obviously not there.
Yeah. I just think the best way in this one now moving forward is you go to Lille, you be positive, you back your ability to hurt teams, which, let's be honest, we've hurt, you know, Arsenal, City, all these sides, Man United twice. And I think you've got to back yourself to go, right, we want to get the lead here. We want to come out and score the first goal, make it 3-1 on aggregate. And then you sort of think, right, now we can see what Villa are made of, because then you do
you've
wonder
got
if Lille have to force it.
As well. I mean, that's another factor. Yeah. Villa have not performed, let's say, to their best away at Ajax, away at Warsaw, when the crowd's been, you know, proper crowds. And, you know, you just saw that small sample size of their fans in the away end. If that's like that across the board, and they probably will bring it, then if Lille get a foothold in the game, then it could be a long night.
Yeah, yeah, you want a little bit of momentum in the game, and I think the best way for Villa to do that is you strike early. Because generally, we you know, if we score first, whatever, I think we can sort of set into a pattern quite well. Whereas I think if Lille knock you out your stride really early, I think it becomes really difficult for Villa. But I'm still positive, it's just the trust factor.
Well, it's properly poised, isn't it, now?
It is.
We know our weaknesses, we know our strengths. It's just a matter of, will they be enough? It's as simple as that. I just hope that Coefficient FC get their act together as well.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport, powered by fans.